Welcome back to a brand new episode of Rebel with a Cause. I'm your host, Eric, and joining me this evening, everybody's lovable little Sonic, our little ball of aggression, Jeremiah Harding. How's it going, buddy?
Reasonable. Yeah. I got my workout in like an hour ago. 2 hours ago.
Nice.
And ever since I've been working on some content, so I'm all sweaty. It's fucking summer. I hate it. I miss the snow.
Yeah, I sometimes I miss the snow and then having to drive around in it, and then I'm like, no, thank you. The few times that it's actually done it down here in Louisiana, that is.
Well, but that's part of the thing. Like, it's all about environment. Like, if you're used to that, if you live in an environment where it happens, like, a lot, yeah, and the roads are designed for it, and, like, your tires are like, they have deep tread because you're used to trying that.
Right.
You know, you've got your chains or your spiders or whatever, or you've got your tires siped. I think that's a terrible idea, but apparently a lot of people here, do you know what siping is?
That's where they put like those metal tacks in the tires, or is that something else?
That's something else. Siping is when you cut lines in it.
Oh, like
you cut little lines in the tread to give it extra traction. And it just seems like that's a way to like mill through tires at like twice the speed. But I don't fucking know. I haven't lived in like Spokane for my whole life. I've only lived here for like 2.5 years. So maybe there's actually something to that. I don't know.
Yeah. That seems like it might be one thing that you might want to try and see if it actually works. Yeah. I'm kind of like with you. Anytime you're actually cutting onto the tire treads, that may shorten the life of it. But, you know, all we get down here is just rain and a lot of it.
Yeah, well, I like rain too. Like basically anything that's not like direct sunlight. Like, I have my window open and the curtain open because like otherwise it blocks the cooler air. Not really cool, but like at least cooler than my fucking computer like burning up the office air. And like the sunlight is still kind of a problem for me. And like it's got my face like half completely white over here, so
yeah,
I got the whole like Phantom of the Opera mask look on.
I don't know, that kind of goes. Maybe we can rebrand and we can make you the Phantom of the of Twitter.
Yeah, the Phantom of Liberty Twitter. Yes. I'm here to fuck with your shit and then get away with it because nobody saw me do it.
Right. I have an organ and well, you know, I'll have to play it every now and then.
Right. Yeah. Well, and hey, we could do duets because I have my organ back there. I can't pull it out without like fucking standing up. But I have my organ in the form of an M Audio KeyStation 4090S. I'm slowly learning how to play. So
nice. Okay. Yeah. And everyone's getting all musical. You know, I've got my guitar and my bass guitar over here too. So.
Well, I want to make some industrial music, and like a keyboard is really good for that because it's like an input panel. So like you basically don't have to do anything. It's all MIDI output, and
right,
and you can just fucking throw that through a DAW, and you're fine.
Yeah, yeah. Native instruments is another thing. I mean, if we had that crap back in the '90s, like half of us would have been our own band, you know.
Everybody would have their own remix of Terrible Lie by Nine Inch Nails. Hey,
yes,
hey, check out my mixtape.
Check it out, man. I redid it.
Yeah, right.
I did it better this time.
Yeah. Like there would be like 300 permutations of it.
Right. Yeah, it's just like, man, I don't even know how DJs would have even gotten around that kind of crap back in the '90s. Because, I mean, all that was like on turntables and CDs and stuff. And, you know, I had to mix it like on the fly and everything.
Well, yeah, and you know, the original like industrial music was all like Throb and Gristle, for instance, they would fucking literally just cut tapes together.
Yeah,
I don't understand that. That's alien technology to me. Because like, I don't understand how you have the patience to razor a bunch of tapes. And if you fuck up the tape, you have to re-razor it and like, we'll re-record it, re-razor it and all that shit. So what did they do? Like they just had like 18 tapes of the same recording so that if they fucked one up, they could chuck another onto it.
Right.
I don't understand.
Yeah. Well, it's like even like the film nerds, you know, because they had to record everything and then do dual VCRs to make sure that it got onto a tape somewhere. You know, I couldn't even imagine like sitting through all that and just trying to get something recorded just before you even started editing it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I get frustrated if like OBS crashes. I don't understand. It doesn't. But
yeah. The olds are complaining about technology again. Gotta love it.
Yeah, right.
So we've had a whole bunch of crap go down on the timeline recently. I mean, that's really saying something given how bad it is most of the time. So what's been going on in your world so far?
I mean, the same old, same old. Like, I want to say that, like, you know, it hasn't been like there's some dramatically new thing in my life, but right. It's a lot of it's just the same stuff, like some status that doesn't that wants to seem libertarian is upset with me. I think I may have been on your show before. I don't remember, but like,
no, this is your inaugural episode. So we just talked
if people want to find out what I am, I'm basically like, I my ad for my Twitter is, if you want a worse day every day, follow me.
Right.
That's like exactly what my whole vibe is, to destroy people's like calm and to give them things to be upset about. And so, like, ultimately, like, I end up doing that a lot and catching a lot of feedback. Like, I'm not saying none of it's my fault. It's definitely provoked,
right.
But I don't regret shit. So, like, most recently, I caught yet more shit for my take on the whole, like, redheaded libertarian situation where
good old Josie. Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, when she went on Liberty Lockdown and started to, like, essentially talk a bunch of shit, like, subtweet in that episode about that, a bunch of people.
I was gritting my teeth all the way to Childerberg while I was listening to it. I was like, oh, no, this is not exactly how that went down at all.
Yeah, no, it's not even remotely how it went down either.
Yeah.
And then, like, and she tries to play it all off like it's only the recent stuff. Like, this hasn't been going on for years.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, so that happened and I got a bunch of people angry with me for, like, defending myself with, you know, reason.
Yeah.
Because like, one of the things is she accused me of doxing her when I used the name that she went by on her article she shared.
Yeah. She writes for The Federalist, right?
The Federalist and Human Events.
Okay. Yeah.
And
she uses a real name for that. So
yeah, she did. It was on Muckrack. That's where I found, like, you know, this name originally is like Muckrack, which is a really common site that people go to find where people have written.
Yeah.
So I went there and I saw her two articles ever. And one of them was defending, like, the NFL football coach who like sought, like, sex work or whatever, and the other one was talking about the guy who, like, went and talked to, like, Klansman Miles something or other, and he, like, went and talked to Klansman and fucking shit like that
Daryl Davis.
I think I thought Miles Davis in my mind, and then it sort of, like, filled in the gaps, but
different,
yeah,
Davis.
different Davis. But, like, so she used her real name on that article and her real face and attached it to her Twitter account.
Yeah,
so
as if she, I can't compare the two pictures together, right?
Well, as if I can't search her Twitter handle and just find that article.
Yeah.
Because you can. And so, you know, that's one lie. The esoteric entity crowd has made me Voldemort recently by creating a rule in their server that you can't talk about me. So that's back alley philosophy. A bunch of like newbie agorists might find that content and think that I'm terrible because they don't know me and they're not interested in talking. But the point is, like, I don't mean to make this about a bunch of drama, but like that's like lately what's been going on, is that yet more people, like, not just them, but like a whole bunch of other people just starting a bunch of shit. But like, if you want to talk about, like, in terms of the libertarian timeline, I spent 40 minutes yelling at them last night because I've
Was
been
this
doing
New Hampshire related.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I've been doing this vlog series. I started it because I was going to be dog sitting in a rural area with HughesNet, and you can't really do, like,
yeah, that's
consistent,
crappy satellite internet for those that don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. and you can't really do like consistent content. You can't do streaming or anything. So I still wanted to do consistent, like at least some content. So I thought I'll just upload really short videos that I can do on that data. So I did that for like 5 days, but by day two, somebody was already interested in sponsoring the episodes, even though it's like, I don't know, it's informal content, and I thought people would hate it, and a decent chunk of people do hate it. Like, I've lost about 12 subscribers, but I've gained just as many, so it's like...
Yeah, I mean, there's a niche for everything, and if you're doing, like, little short snippets of videos where you're just gonna hit a topic real quick...
Well, that's what it was at first.
Yeah, that's how it started.
Yeah, well, when I got back and I had access to internet that wasn't, like, snail's pace some of the time, it's kind of bad still anyway, but we're about to switch to fiber, so it should be better after that.
Okay.
But the point is that, like, now I've got, like, the higher speed internet, and it's, like, you know, 6 days into my vlog series, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to start, you know, talking about it until I'm satisfied, and then I'll be done with the subject. So there are like 6 videos now where I'm just talking for 40 minutes and I don't have a script or anything. I'm just sort of doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not used to that shit. Like, I'm used to like scripting everything out, and like I'm reading from a script right below my camera so that it still looks like I'm looking at them.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, it's weird. But like, so my most recent informal vlog was just yelling. I called it yelling at the Libertarian Party for 40 minutes because that's basically what it was. And it's actually gotten like positive perception. I could swear I was going to wake up to a bunch of negativity about it.
Yeah.
But like, ultimately my take is this, politics bad.
All the time.
Yeah. So I have a hard time with it, and I have for a while, the concept of using like the political sphere as like your source of libertarian thought. It doesn't make sense to me. So yeah, like
that's a sticky wicket. I mean, I was involved with the LP from 2014 to 2018, and I had to get out of it. It just like, it's like, man, that we're just spinning our wheels. I'm trying to get candidates to run as educational candidates just so they can get the message out there and maybe do some conversions. But, you know, wait, I still had some of them that's like, no, I think I can win this race. I'm like, no, no, you're not going to.
Well, and then like, so how, okay, let me ask you from your perspective, how much fundraising did you help with?
Oh, me personally, I maybe just like a local candidate, maybe getting him at least $200 so he can maybe run one radio ad. That type of stuff. I mean, just little piddly stuff. I mean, I'm not talking thousands of dollars here. So,
and let me ask, why didn't you do it more?
Well, the entire process is just painstaking. I mean, you got to fill out paperwork that you've got to send into the state, and you know, you got to account for every single dollar. And then when you're dealing with the loser brigade in your state party, and they're going to question everything, it was like, well, why did you have this guy come and speak? It was like, well, because he wanted to come and speak. You know, well, there's no ulterior motive there. You know.
Well, what's fun about that is that like, there's some cause for concern with some speakers, but there's also some cause for concern with the people opposed to those speakers. So right. it's like the same Republican and Democrat paradigm, but in the Libertarian Party.
Right.
Like, you're still like worrying about who's like center right enough, or like who's too radical to be center right enough in order to be in this right Libertarian Party.
Yeah.
And it's like, so why do I care that you don't like this speaker when your speakers aren't going to do much better, and when they can barely talk to people on a normal basis? Like, I just, it's baffling to me that a lot of people who don't put in work are upset about people who do. It's like that. It's like that back alley philosophy situation. Like, they call me a grifter, and I've put out more content in the last month than they have in the last year. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, so, I can't tell you how many times you've hit me up in DMs asking for my credit card information. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. No, and I also want you to fuck like a virgin so that I can get a firstborn child to throw in a volcano.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So, like, it's like, the reason I asked that, like, so you didn't do any of those, like, you know, I'm going to share this money bomb, or I'm going to share a link to join the LP monetarily, or that sort of thing.
No, it was like, usually it's like kind of in person. It was like, we got the one guy who's running for like school board right here, and he needs like a couple hundred bucks to, you know, get in between, you know, a radio and a microphone, you know? So yeah, it was just like little piddly stuff like that. It wasn't like thousands of dollars, and we're, you know, going to try and do it for this one guy who's running for state senator or whatever. I never did any of that stuff. So,
well, and so why not?
Well, I mean, like I said before, I mean, just when you're having to deal with the state, you got to go through all the little paperwork. They want to put a microscope on everything that you do.
But in terms of like not sharing other people's links or something.
Oh, I mean, sharing links. Yeah. I mean, when I was on Facebook, I would share links all the time, especially with like state party. Yeah. It was like, you know, but I'm not like taking an active hand in it. It's like, here, by the way, we got this guy running. You know, you can check him out. Here's his page, type of thing.
Well, it's just like, so libertarians post whenever like cops like disrupt a food drive, right? Cops are like, oh, we're gonna go steal all this food. We're going to prevent it from getting into the mouths of the homeless, and we're going to put it in trash bags and pour bleach on it and shit in order to make sure that they don't dumpster dive for it. Well, I've seen a lot of libertarians who are mad about that, and like, they still donate to a political campaign. Well, what if that money went to making new food drives? What if that money went to like subversive food drives that could be packed up quickly so that, like, in terms of agorism, if the cops were called, people could know about it in advance and like sort of be ready to disband, to take the food to somewhere else in the city or something. Like, so like, what
there's an organization in Dallas. It's illegal to feed the homeless in Dallas if you don't have a, you know, permits and everything. So there's an anarchist group there that shows up with AR-15 strapped.
Good.
And guess what? The cops leave them alone.
Yes. Because of course.
Yes.
And so like, imagine for a second if libertarians gave that group money instead of a politician.
Yeah.
You know, wouldn't that be fucking.
Yeah. I mean, at least then it's actually doing something. Yeah.
Yes. And you don't have to worry about whether or not it will.
Yeah.
And like it materially directly improves the lives of people there.
Right.
And you can use it as an outreach opportunity to say, hey, we had to do this illegally because the state fucking sucks. Want to be a libertarian?
Yeah.
That'd be it. So that's one. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, there's a group of Democrat socialists right here in Baton Rouge. They go out and they help people fix their taillights because it's one less police encounter that they have to deal with. And so they collect money to buy taillights and stuff to make sure it gets on the cars. And I was like telling this to a libertarian group here, and they're like, well, that's a great idea. I was like, yeah, why did the Democrat socialists think of it? You know, let's go over there and help them, you know? And they're like, well, no, they're socialists. I was like, I don't care.
See, but that's the thing I was bringing up earlier.
Yes.
Because it goes both ways. It's not just like the loser brigade coming in and saying, you know, let's stop the right wing invasion. It's also the right wing reeing about socialism, and the left can't meme. Meanwhile, the left is actually doing things against the state.
Yeah. And these are like hard.
They don't want to help you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. These people would throw Bernie Sanders under a bus if they could, you know, because they don't like him. Yeah. So.
Well, and you know, there's very little to like because he threw everybody else under the bus, and he continually supports a Democratic Party that gives burners the shaft. So, like, but like the point is that's one example. Okay, so roads. Who would build the roads? Domino's is based anarcho-capitalist Domino's. Let's go support Domino's because they fill in potholes in certain areas while also stamping their logo on it, because of course. But like, why is that not something that anarchists are throwing their money at? Why are anarchists not filling in these potholes themselves? Why is there no pothole defense fund? or something like that. You know,
and we always cheer when we see the story. There's like an anarchist group in Oregon one night went out and filled potholes in their neighborhood.
Yes.
You know, they had to do it in masks, otherwise they would get arrested, you know, which doesn't make any fucking sense at all.
Yeah. Well,
like, really, what crime is being committed? Road construction, you know, without your approval?
The crime of losing auto insurance companies money
right.
And like weakening the local mechanics economy. You know, if you don't crunch into a fucking pothole, who's going to change the tires?
Yes.
Who's going to put my car on a rack? Who's going to fix my suspension that broke?
The alignments lost.
Yeah. Who's gonna make sure that my job has to find somebody to fill in for my hours while I get this all done because it happened on the way? Who's gonna make sure that an ambulance can't get somebody to the hospital because they crunched into the wrong pothole on the wrong street? Who's gonna do all of that? You know, if not government. So, but the point is that anarchists like mocking that. They like having fun at that's expense. But then they're still giving their money to politicians and not that.
Yeah.
Like they're complaining about the roads that the politicians are responsible for, but they're not being any more responsible. You know, we could be like direct action funding homeschooled kids. We could be helping local parents do that for themselves. Tuitions, scholarships. Imagine if all these Bitcoin hodlers who made like a huge amount of money or Dogecoin or whatever had like a fund where they gave like a fraction of a percent of their profits to this fund. And then that fraction of a percent of profits all went to a pool to get people homeschooled. And part of that homeschooling curriculum could be how to make profit on cryptocurrency just to make sure they get their money's worth with new participants in the market.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. Or, you know, helping veterans transition back into the real world where they're not just government whores, and like, you know, getting them the psychological help that they need. Helping cops transition away from being piggies to being private security or militias or co-op officers or something like that, whatever they wanted to do. You know, whether they're a leftist or a rightist, there's a way to help people rather than being cops. Like the military themselves, you could just form militias and donate to those or help those materially. Why are people campaigning for fucking office? Why aren't people helping these hospitals fund themselves so that they don't have to be funded by Big Pharma? Why aren't they helping direct action so that we can prove that all of these things would still be voluntarily funded if there wasn't a government? Why do we just expect people to trust us?
Yeah.
Do we have a good track record?
Not really. I mean, we can talk your ears off with theory all day long if we had to, but I mean, that's not going to get anything done. So, I mean, it's one of the main reasons why I stopped participating in the Libertarian Party. You know, it's like, you know, that when you're at the national convention, it was like, oh, by the way, we're going to lube everybody up for Bill Weld, you know, for him to run for president and everything. Yeah. Yeah. Bill Raytheon Weld. And it's like, you see the guy, he's wearing a tux with tails and he's got brown loafers on. It was like, man, you can't even put formal wear together. Come on.
Well, so and that's the thing, like. The Libertarian Party was an attack, as Konkin put it, and he wasn't wrong. Like, so in my video, I read directly from the new Libertarian Manifesto. Libertarian. Yeah, right. and like, it has history in it. It has a history lesson. It says libertarians were originally co-opted by right-wing hyper-capitalist statists who had like severe issues with real reduction in government power and only really wanted to support conservative organizations. So it's like these people already knew what they were funding and the money meets the message.
Right.
So like I was on this podcast a while back, like just cause you want to talk about libertarian messaging and you know, whatever. I was on this podcast a while back called Break the Rules. They used to follow me and they were very excited to have me on when I had 17,000 followers. I'm not sure they do anymore, but like the thing that I was on was called Libertarian Slugfest.
Nice.
And it was nothing but like a bunch of people in a circle jerk until I got there.
Right.
So like they were all talking about the Libertarian Party, and they were all talking about how awesome it was that they all had podcasts, and they were all talking about how this made them the peak examples of libertarians. And then I come in and like Spike Cohen was on, and he was about to leave. So before he left, the host like stopped him from leaving and said, "Hey, before you leave, Jeremiah Harding just joined us. I just gotten off a workout." And yeah. I'd like to ask him if he has any questions about the Libertarian Party. And my first question that I figured
forgive
I would
them,
ask,
for they know not what they do.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they made a mistake by having me on. That's why people don't have me on their shows normally. I'm an asshole and I disrupt their bullshit. So the ultimate thing that happened was I asked, how much influence does the Coctopus still have on the Libertarian Party?
Quite a lot.
Right. It really does.
That's the honest answer. Quite a lot.
Okay. So he didn't answer any of that. What he did was he played defense immediately. Spike Cohen immediately played defense. And by the way, I'm going to call him Jeremy because that's his name. Yeah. So Jeremy played defense immediately and acted like I was asking the wrong questions. So he basically started to ask me a bunch of counter questions, like how much money have I taken from the Koch brothers? How much money has Joe Jorgensen taken from the Koch brothers? And right. I'm like, I don't know, but you're not the party and you don't represent them.
Yeah.
And he acted like they did. So he says, what has this money, or he asks, what is this money influence? Like what policy prescriptions has the Libertarian Party sacrificed or something like that? And so I told Jeremy this, I said, you know, well, a great example is the straying away from the non-aggression principle, which is a basic libertarian principle.
Right.
Like suddenly this thing is not very discussed, and it's, you know, you can have people coming up who say it's beyond their scope, like fucking so I brought up the fact that Gary Johnson said it was over his head,
right?
So and then they said, well, Gary Johnson isn't here anymore and we're the new etc.
right.
Acting like they didn't just act like the VP and presidential candidates are the representatives, so we can act like Gary Johnson was too.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's fucking hilarious. And then the rest of it, like I get into this little spat with, I think his name is Keith Knight. And fucking, he keeps on trying to distract from the funding thing and say that it doesn't matter at all who funds what. And I'm like,
well, actually it does. Cause yeah. Whoever has the money does all the talking. So,
and like the money creates the message.
Yeah.
And that's what I kept telling him. And like, you know, so I proved like very concisely that this is the case, and he even had to eventually say yeah, but then he made his little high-pitched voice go to other subjects very quickly because he didn't like the subject the way it was. And so I can't with these people. Like, they would much rather talk about how well their podcast is doing or how well their party is doing
yeah.
than how well libertarianism is doing on the message and how well we're doing in concrete terms in reality. And it's just fucking hilarious. Spike, Jeremy, before he left, literally made a basement joke.
Oh, no.
And he claimed to, this is why my time is precious. He acted all fucking pretentious right before he left, made a basement joke, and acted like he was the only one doing anything because he's involved in politics.
No, you are doing something. It's, oh my God. That's a head scratcher. I don't know why they act the way they do. I really don't. If I did know, I would write a book about it and make millions of dollars. But
power gets to their head, and that's what they really want.
Yeah, that's all it is. And the Lord of the Rings taught us, you can't control the ring of power. It will control you. So,
yeah. So, and that's the thing. Like, I know I create a lot of my like animosity. I know that I could be nicer and have a more magnanimous messaging system. And
right.
I could,
but
try
then you
to
wouldn't
reach...
be you, and that we can't have.
Well, and the thing is, like, I used to be extreme far right in high school. I was a piece of shit. And like,
are we talking like flat tops and Brill Cream far right or
no, but like, I mean, I used some gel. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Gotcha. I sometimes phrase it as just fascist and sometimes phrase it as fascist leaning, but yeah. I was really fucking bad. And it didn't take somebody who was nice and bubbly to get me out of that. Right. It took a slow introduction to libertarian theory ideas, etc., to bring me away from that.
Yeah.
And of course, a healthy dose of Sonic the Hedgehog because he's a freedom fighter.
exactly.
So, like, ultimately, there's a lot of stuff involved in getting somebody who has extreme and angry and hostile ideas to accept freedom and peace.
Yeah.
And it didn't take somebody who was nice and fucking bubbly in order to get me on the side of liberty. It took people saying what a piece of shit I was and telling me that I'm fucking stupid and I need to change my mind.
Right.
Now I understand that doesn't work with everybody.
No.
But the fact is that so many people have been taken in by the bubbly and the magnanimous that when they stop getting it, they act all fucking hurt. They act like you stuck a knife in them when you just told them some facts. Like, I can't tell you how many communities I've been banned from, kicked from, etc.
Yeah.
How many people have blocked me just because I said something that made them uncomfortable. And I figure that's fine. They're going to... go ahead.
I was just going to say, if they're going to be that petty over, you know, you dispensing out an uncomfortable truth about something, you know, what good are you at that point? You know?
Well, or at least having a different view than they do. I could be full of shit. I'm also a solipsist, which means that I don't think, like, I don't have 100% certainty that this is all real. I could be a brain in a vat, and or you could, like,
right.
Here's a thought experiment. Prove I exist.
Well, you see, can't, because even if I could reach out and touch your beard and say, that's a real beard. Nope. Electronic signals in my brain telling me that there's hair follicles on your face,
right? So
you and it's can't all ultimately your... prove anything,
right? So, like, there's an element of doubt to everything, and I like that. It's called Cartesian skepticism. Right. Like, the ultimate only truth that you can tell is that you think, therefore you are. So, I could be full of shit about all of this.
Could be,
But like, ultimately, what I think is real is the things that seem to make sense within the logic framework that everybody else agrees on when it suits them.
Yeah.
I just made the difficult choice to say, hey, you know what? I don't care if it suits me or not. If it seems accurate, I'm going to believe it.
Right. And it's quite inconvenient for the, as Stephen Kinsella calls them, the status muggles, you know, the people who haven't been initiated yet. And when you start laying down those uncomfortable truths on them, you actually can watch the steam leave their ears as the gears are starting to grind to a halt there. And it's like, then they want to fight it because they're just like, okay, he just told me something that goes against everything I've been raised to understand. And now my brain hurts. The thinky pain has started.
I got to talk to Tom DiLorenzo at some point because using the information from what he wrote, I have pissed off so many people.
Tom excels at that. He is actually a great writer. So
yeah,
he's definitely on the bucket list.
Well, and the thing is, like, I can just say four words to piss off both Republicans and Democrats. Lincoln was a tyrant.
Yes. I've done it before too. And you want to watch a face get melt. It's like, how could you say that? And I was like, well, you know, people wanted to leave the country and he decided sacrificing 750,000 lives was worth it.
So. Well, and so first off, Democrats love to act like they wouldn't have been on the side of the South, but whatever.
Yeah, that was where their party was born.
So like they act like that. They act like it. But then like if you say that like Lincoln was a tyrant, they'll act like you're a racist.
Yeah.
They'll say you must support slavery. The
which
right,
is hilarious because Lincoln was a gigantic racist.
Right, exactly. Did he say something similar to "I care not whether or not the black man is freed"?
Yeah,
you know,
if he could fight the war and win it without freeing the slaves, he would do it.
Yeah,
and then after the war, he wanted to ship them all over to Africa. So,
right, yeah, he was Donald Trump before Trump was Trump.
Right,
and so like that element of it, and then you come up on the fact that, you know, this is where I get to fuck with Republicans. He was a Republican.
Yeah, because then it's Saint Lincoln, you know. So
yeah, right. which it's really fucking hilarious how on the nose the occultists in office are, these fucking demons who dance around in front of the fucking Bohemian Grove owl statue while burning a totally not real child. These fucking psychophants bootlicking the fucking giant statue of Lincoln with faces on it.
Yeah.
Like, how could they be any more fucking direct? Like, yeah, you want to tear down a...
I've pointed it out. I was like, hey, we're all anti-fascist, right? And they're like, yeah, yeah, of course. Here's the statue of Lincoln. You notice how there's fascist right there? Yeah, and even the state house here in Louisiana, we've got the fasci all around the House of Representatives. So
why aren't anti-fascists defacing those monuments? Why aren't they going over there?
Gee, I wonder why. Yeah.
So, like, and then you bring up the fact that the 13th Amendment did not end slavery.
No, it just it made it legal.
It universalized it. Yep. It made it so that it created the prison industrial complex. Before, you were just on a chain gang because of your status, whatever your presentation in terms of genetics, yep. Right?
Louisiana's famous for it. We got Angola, you know,
right?
Which
yeah,
is straight up slave labor. So.
And so you got all that stuff, right? Like, and you've got this totally invented concept of whiteness that was like, it's not about skin tone. It's about what your bloodlines are. Right. Like, plenty of white people weren't white. Yeah. And so
I've made the joke before. I'm a quarter Sicilian. So, I mean, up until recently, I didn't count. Yeah.
I'm a German Scot. I'm confused as to which people I want to massacre.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, the ultimate thing is that, like, with the 13th Amendment, like saying, you know, except as punishment for slavery, suddenly, or sorry, as for crime, it suddenly you can be a slave.
Yeah. Funny so how it's that like, happened.
Yeah. And like, it's fucking immediate Jim Crow laws, like within the next several decades, I think it was. Yeah. Immediate fucking drives.
Our first gun control laws, everything else. Yeah.
Loitering laws, especially. Like, oh yeah. You're standing in a place for too long. Ooh.
Oh. So, obviously, you're up to no good.
Yeah, right. A ne'er-do-well, shuffling about. Fucking yes. Buy something or leave, or you're stealing from my store. all these things were racist.
Yeah.
You know, there's a song by Body Count that I regularly push. And that I think a few people have actually clicked the link, but it's called No Lives Matter. And yeah. It's like, in the eyes of the law, black skin has always stood for poor. So like they're going over the fact that when it comes to the poor, no lives matter. It's always been about classism.
Yeah.
The term redneck is a classist term. The idea is that your neck is red because you've been working in the fields all day. You're right. Not in the house. You're not a legislator. You're not you're not pushing papers. You're not a dignified elite living right. In the houses built on and by slavery. You're not in one of these fucking situations where you're part of a bloodline of money and power.
Yep.
So you have a red neck.
That's
get,
right.
Get back to work. You're essentially on the same level, slave.
Yeah.
And the poor whites that are still oppressed, the poor blacks, the poor Chinese, the poor everything that are still oppressed are mostly oppressed by these pieces of legislation that were started for racist purposes.
Yep.
So maybe
eventually it comes for us all. So,
right. So maybe Republicans and Democrats are fucked up, and maybe Lincoln is a really good way to point that out.
Right.
They don't want to do that.
No. Yeah. Thinky pain is something they try to avoid at all costs. So.
Right. And so, like, I find myself in situations like that a lot, which is why I warn people before they have me on their show. You know, if you want me to make your audience sad, feel free, because, like, we're descending into a tyranny that nobody has ever seen before. There has never been a worse tyranny than the one we're experiencing.
Right. Because it has the technology to back it up.
The fact that we're allowed to talk like this isn't actually evidence that we don't live in complete fascism. The right. evidence, all the evidence you need is the suppression of people, like my ban from Twitter or something like that.
Yeah.
Where, like, I had been there for 12 years and all that fucking shit got scuttled despite me not breaking rules because they accused me of platform manipulation and spam.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you.
You're called a retweet, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you put the functionality there. I'm just using it.
Yeah. Well, and so, like, they claimed it was during this Q purge. Like, they claimed it was to try and combat online extremism.
Yeah, yeah, well, but we, like, kept telling you to shut up about Q, you know. Come on.
Well, and I'm anti-Q.
Yeah, same here. Like, that's stupid.
Yeah. And like, I made this, one of my rants is on the QAnon situation. Another one is on the Parler situation. I'm firmly in the camp of fuck Trump because he was a honeypot for a bunch of conspiracy theorists to be rounded up by the FBI and shit.
Yeah.
And an excuse for online censorship, an excuse for platforms and for politicians and for big financial firms to flex their bullshit, because they had to defeat the orange Mussolini. So, like, ultimately we end up with this environment where, there, like, everybody can be censored and people are on the side of the censors. Like,
yeah. Uh-oh. I think I lost you.
Hello. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, there, now we're back.
My internet connection is terrible. We'll be getting that fixed soon. Where did I lose you?
Right after the Trump being a honeypot, and has built all these platforms that they're now using, especially with the 1/6 thing and all that stuff. So
yeah, so this is like all just an excuse for like platforms to flex their power. For politicians to flex their power, for mega corporations to flex their power. And now they have an excuse that doesn't make them look fascist in the eyes of the very stupid. And unfortunately, right. The very stupid are many. So, like, they've created and indoctrinated all these people to believe that as long as they're saying something, it's real. But right. They're isolating and they're censoring. And, like, Corbett gets banned from YouTube despite having been there with, like, basically no problem for like a decade. Yeah, I think
everything that Corbett does is sourced,
yeah, like,
in detail.
And this is the reason that I keep telling people to get on the blockchain, because I can find his stuff still because it's on library, you know. I can find his stuff still on other platforms, and I hope people do. But like, the general idea that I get is that most people, they don't want solutions, they want to complain, you know?
Yeah.
So the fact is that, like, Trump is an excuse to complain more.
Yeah.
That's all.
It was the complainer-in-chief. Like, never right. actually did anything about it.
So, like, my general vibe is that, like, and Biden is just Trump 2.0. So my general vibe is, like, it doesn't matter. Like, none of this matters. What matters is, like, and we need to move past politics. We need to get to a place where politics are irrelevant,
right?
Not make them more relevant. We don't, the Libertarian Party has given so much relevance to political power, and it's stunning how few of them get this. Like, legitimacy, that's what they get out of it. They get a big old fat fuck of legitimacy. Yeah. Like, imagine if the Libertarians just walked away and said, it's illegitimate, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is and help people, that would be a movement. But now,
being the example for everyone else, you know, that makes too much sense, Jeremiah. We can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got to continue with the system as it is so that we have something to complain about. But that's exactly what it is. Like, they grant the system legitimacy. Let's say a libertarian wins. Let's say a libertarian even wins the presidency, right? Let's just put the, like, throw this dart into the asshole of the abyss. Like, let's
sure, go for it.
So that just means to the entire world now that America is a fair enough system that they will sacrifice their power to a libertarian. Or
right.
It means that they have power ultimately anyway. The president is just a mouthpiece. And like, ultimately, if the president starts to say and or do things that are off program, ba-goom, hey, the CIA has got a plan for you, son.
Yeah, I mean, you can start putting in the Bill Hicks joke about seeing the Kennedy assassination from an angle no one's ever seen before. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, do you have any questions? No, sir. What's my agenda?
Right. Exactly. And then if you don't like it, thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yeah, it's exactly. Like,
it's like, it's baffling to me that these people, and I, that part of my rant was me getting like my fucking terrible, like old Southern accent and fucking like acting like a plantation owner who's like, oh yeah, well, we got all this power all these centuries ago and we kept it all these years, but we'll definitely give it up because we're honest folk.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You scribbled enough. You put enough entries into that computer machine, so we'll definitely give it all up.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah, no, it's not ever going to happen. I mean, I think Ross Perot back in the 90s, it's kind of scared him a little bit because the guy got a little bit too much, too many of those votes. And he can't have anybody getting thrown a bone every once in a while, so.
Well, or he is a good example of, like, exactly what I mentioned, because if Ross Perot gets votes, they can just make the votes whatever they want anyway so that Ross Perot doesn't get in. Right. There's a chance Ross Perot won, but they just pushed him out anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, let's remember the RNC. Remember the fact that they literally gave Ron Paul the shaft right before the convention. They wouldn't even let him speak to collect more delegates.
Right.
And like, even his own son joined them. The establishment knows how the establishment works. So his son was like, I got to suck Romney's cock real quick or I'm going to fucking die politically.
Yeah. My seat in Kentucky is up for grabs at any moment, I guess. So,
yeah. So, and the same thing happened in the Democrats with Bernie. The fact that have you ever seen that video? That video. Holy shit. Have you ever? Okay.
Are we talking about Wasserman Schultz basically just admitting that the superdelegates shafted him?
That one, but also there's a video of the convention itself, and it's where the convention was holding the votes, and they gave all this time for, I think it was Hillary Clinton, and barely any time for Bernie. They gave Bernie like a few seconds and then like immediately called the vote.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
And so like all these people are raising their hand for Hillary, but like there was enough not raised hands that potentially there could have been more hands raised for Bernie, but right. They just called it.
Yeah.
They called it after like a few seconds and then said, so the ayes have it, Hillary, blah, 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 right. Blah, 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 blah. And it happens every single time.
But oh yeah. Even Bernie, that 2012 Republican convention.
Yeah,
you could see the right behind Rince Peiris or whoever it was, you know, you can see the script going up on his little prompter. And it was like, and the eyes have it. And it was like, wow, that was just scripted. We're not even going to actually look out into the room and see how many people said I.
Exactly. And so, and that's the thing. Like when I start to look at politics that way, is all this, it's like pro wrestling, but not nearly as cool or like with like a mixtape soundtrack of nu metal.
Oh no. Yeah. Politics is definitely theater for ugly people. So
yeah. Well, and it, like people too ugly for wrestling. I mean, that's saying something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, some of those people are just, you know, they're
Diamond Dallas Page. Anybody? I mean, come on.
I think, but you know, no disrespect to an actual libertarian who is also a pro wrestler, who is Glenn Jacobs. I think he has some of the closest actual ideas that might be implementable, which is why he basically hasn't gotten any of them done because he's been stonewalled a lot.
Right.
So like, but even so, let's say libertarians get in and they maybe get some legal weed or some legal mushrooms in some areas.
Right.
Let's say that happens, right? Wow, you got legal weed and mushrooms while the federal government has created a federal facial recognition superstate, while there are more drones in the sky,
right?
While Elon Musk has been ejaculating more things into space that can be used to spy on us all, that his Starlink system is scary as fuck because it's going to make the grid everywhere.
Right.
There's seeing the
footage of him putting those Starlink satellites into space, and then like all of the UFO noobs, it was like, oh, what are these UFOs? I was like, no, that's the Starlink satellite thing. I really shouldn't have to defend this. I don't want them up there either.
Yeah. Well, but see, and that's the thing though. Elon Musk takes government money.
Yeah.
And that's one of my rants too. Elon Musk takes government money. He uses government launch sites with government hardware and government approval. He is the government. This is something that a lot of right libertarians don't like to admit, because it like throws holes in their little fucking cucky bullshit where they're going to be like, oh yeah, so the capitalist did something that makes it fine. This is state capitalism.
It was just a private company, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a big Yu-Gi-Oh card that has that on it. And like, it's like the only time this can be used is if the player thinks it absolves the business of all responsibility.
Right.
Yeah. I'll send that in the chat after the show. But like the general, so my general vibe in that regard is that like Musk is, he's got satellites that are universalizing the grid. He's got tunnels that he's trying to build through cities that will enable like greater and easier transport of statist vehicles.
Right.
He relies on lithium and computer parts that are like essentially conflict minerals. He relies on government hardware and funding and launch sites in order to send his rockets into space. He does all of this at a loss by treating his workers like shit and by cutting fucking tons of corners, and he makes up that loss by selling people dirt in brick form and by selling them other bullshit novelties. People are mad at Gwyneth Paltrow's goop, but Elon Musk does the same thing.
Right.
He just doesn't claim he's doing it for health. He claims he's doing it to save humanity by putting us on Mars. We're not going to Mars.
No.
Nobody's going to Mars on his ship. He's taking his rich buddies with him, fuckface.
Yeah. It's so funny. Every time I see like a shuttle launch or something like that, and then people are clapping and cheering, I was like, what the fuck are you clapping for? You're not going.
Yeah. That ain't you. Yeah, that's a very expensive thing. You're not on it.
Yeah. You paid for it. Sure. But I mean, you're not going.
And it's so all of that combines with the end run dystopian thing, which is Neuralink.
Oh yes.
Like
let me put a chip in your brain and we'll show you a monkey playing a video game that I'm actually controlling. Right. Yeah.
So it's not actually, so it's not just a chip. It's a chip mounted onto the side of your fucking head,
right,
with threads going into your brain. And these threads are going to send, I think it was like fucking microwave pulses or something like that, radio pulses into your brain, and it can read and write.
Yeah.
It's got read-write access. And this is the thing he's claiming is going to fucking make people walk again.
Yeah, like, no, thank you.
it's like, if anybody is the Antichrist, I would not be surprised if fucking Elon Musk is the Antichrist, because he will come to you as an angel of light, but he's actually a deceiver. Like,
he's already a deceiver. He went bald and he got hair plugs. So,
right? Yeah. Well, so, and this is the thing, like, when it comes down to it, there are libertarian solutions, but we have to keep them libertarian. Yeah. I'm going to keep talking shit about Elon Musk for a second. Elon Musk fucked with cryptocurrencies. He pumped Dogecoin. And then, like, as soon as things started to do well, he was like, oh, we'll accept Bitcoin at Tesla. And then he claimed that he was stopping because of environmental concerns. But most of Bitcoin is already mined, like, on environmentally friendly shit, because why pay power costs when you could get a windmill or a solar farm?
Yeah.
So those things happened. and
a lot of Bitcoin is mined in Iceland, where they use geothermal power. So
yes. And so there's that element of it, right? And then there's the element of he's still, after he made these environmental claims, which tanked the entire cryptocurrency market,
yep,
because people started to pull out and scramble because, ooh, viral subject, blah, 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 right, suck the cock. The ultimate thing that happened was he still promoted Dogecoin immediately afterward.
Yeah, it's like no development on it. There's no developers for it. Yeah.
And the nodes themselves aren't that much better for the fucking environment. And if it got mass acceptance and actually people started using it as more of a currency like they do with Bitcoin, like my first sponsorship for my angry rants was in Bitcoin.
yeah.
If people actually started doing that with Doge, there'd need to be enough miners that it'd be just as fucking bad for as Bitcoin.
Right.
But like, he didn't care. He got his money. He got his bullshit. He got to fundraise. He got to pump and dump. And then when it hit the peak, when it hit what he thought was the peak, he took the money and ran. He's not magnanimous. He's not here for the environment. He's not here to help anybody. He's not here to save your brain, help you walk again. He's not a messiah. He's not going to like rapture you up to the heavens so that you can live on fucking Mars. He's nobody. And you're buying his bullshit.
Yeah, and exactly.
This is what right libertarians do en masse. I'm sure you've seen it.
Yeah,
I'm
sure. Yeah. Now, I know some guys who went out and bought the Boring Project, not a flamethrower thing. I was like, guys, for like the same amount of money, you can make one that actually will shoot a whole bunch of flame if you really wanted to.
Well, and also, like, just to be perfectly clear, if they put that money in Bitcoin, they'd have a lot more money for a lot more flamethrowers.
Or, putting together backpacks for homeless people. So.
Yeah. Yeah, see? But libertarians would rather support this fucking mega corporation. Corporations are imitations of the state, not the market. That's Samuel Edward Konkin III wrote that. And he wasn't fucking wrong.
That's right. He's not just a hamburger with peanut butter on it. So I'm just letting you know.
Exactly. Yeah. So like my whole idea here is, I think libertarians, and especially right libertarians, are willing to excuse fascism if it seems to benefit them in the moment. I think state capitalism is a real thing, and that pisses a lot of them off. It's weird because they call themselves ANCAPs, which means that non-ANCAPping exists.
Yeah.
So like if that's the case, it shouldn't be a problem when I say state capitalism. You're contrasting state capitalism with your ANCAPitalism. Otherwise, you're
falling into the trap of the left because they want to blame everything on capitalism, even though what they're really talking about is state capitalism or cronyism. So
well right, but that's the thing. The left is the sort of people, they started anarchy. Like the anarcho-communist Joseph de Jacques was the first person to call himself libertarian. Politically speaking.
Yeah.
And like the right only started to come to anarchy when it was made more clear to them by people like Lysander Spooner, who was a member of a large socialist union.
Yeah.
So like all of that combines with the fact that like ultimately the original American libertarians were abolitionists and people who opposed slavery.
Like Lysander Spooner actually did something about it. He was arming slaves. So
yes. And then Albert J. Nock and Rose Wilder Lane came along and started writing against the government, writing against bigotry and institutionalized oppression, writing in favor of the free man. And then Mises comes to America decades after that.
Yeah.
And then the Misesian Austrian tradition comes into play. And then you get Rothbard, who credits Nock as the first American libertarian to call himself that,
right?
And credits Lysander Spooner and credits the left with a lot of these things in a publication called Left and Right. He does that, but people with Rothbard profile pictures will say left bad. They will say they will say left. Not always. Bad, I gave you an example. You know,
I gave you the example of the Democratic Socialist fixing taillights.
They ain't doing shit though.
Yeah.
They would rather just argue on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
So ultimately all this stuff happens and the big bucks go to the people confirming their bullshit. The big bucks go to people who say that every good thing is a result of the free market. Bitch, where?
Yeah.
Where?
We're not even at the point where we're even calling it free-ish. It's just not a free market.
The free market has never existed ever. No. And like the closest people have gotten is doing illegal shit, which is still not free. It's just freer because you don't give a shit about the constraints. You're mentally freer, but the market is still unfree.
Right.
Like, state capitalism is the thing that originally decided how land was distributed in the U.S.
Yeah.
It decided how to apportion railroad contracts, and it decided how to apportion national preserves and the road systems and all of this stuff. It created this giant. Alex Jones was one of my intros into conspiracy theories, and he had this document
for a lot of us. Yeah.
He had this documentary called Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement.
Yep.
And I don't agree with his solutions necessarily, which is basically work with these Republicans because Democrats are bad.
Yeah.
But he had this really good thing laid out where he went over the Bilderberg Group and the entrenched and institutionalized power and the fact that this all descends and it's all on the same team and it's all coming down the pike from very bad people for centuries, millennia. The occult, etc. And then you come up with this, like, you know, eventual, like, monopolistic mentality. Well, who owns these roads? Who claims they own these roads that they built?
Right.
The state. Who claims to own these the pieces of land? The state. So they can civil asset forfeiture. They can kick people off. They can eminent domain. Who claims to own this country, this state? Who owns the state, the banks, the corporations, the cartels? All these sorts of evil people. So ultimately, all those roads aren't just roads. If you look at them, I think he put like an orange color on all the roads, and it's like, this is a cage.
Yes.
This is a map. This is a this is a net. It's a fucking it's got holes in it. Sure, maybe some small fish can get out, but the bigger a fish you are, the easier it is to trap you in this fucking net.
Right,
and it's like. When I saw that, it brought everything into clear, sharp fucking focus, because I realized in that moment that even though I didn't agree with his solutions, I definitely knew he was right. He was right about the Bilderberg Group. He was right about all these conspiracies. I started to look into other people. I read some David Icke because my uncle had some David Icke, and he said, it's not what you hear, you know? And so I read some David Icke. I read up on 9/11 conspiracies with that. I listened to James Corbett. I went through all of these paces. I came out on the other side an angry conspiracy theorist asshole who has no problem pissing people off because that's what my mentors do for a living. And it's so like, when it comes down to it, this is the control mechanism. They created this. They are the moneyed interests who have created a fascist state capitalist apparatus. That's the country. That's the government. We don't have a free market. So to tell me that all the fucking advances, all the results, all the et cetera, all this good thing, you know, is a result of a free market and market competition. Fuck no, it isn't.
No.
It's not even close. I'd love that. I would love a free market. Let's get there.
Yeah, free market. If we actually had one, we would have been colonizing planets in different solar systems. So, yeah. So, yeah, they're not going to let it get out of their control. I even said this when the people thought that Joe Jorgensen was like, oh yeah, this is going to be our year. I was like, no, you guys have no clue.
Joe Jorgensen is a Remax agent. Like, I fucking promise. Look, put her face on a fucking Remax sign and you will sell houses.
Right.
People will think, you know, she looks like my mom. Yeah. I'm going to buy a house from her.
Because she's got a trustworthy face. I can trust her with this $150,000 house deal.
She understands the neighborhood. She knows how property values have been. She's part of the local homeowners association. She definitely understands the local politics.
She plays hockey and drinks whiskey.
Yeah, right? Yeah, she's very personable if you can understand the words for the fact that she always sounds like she has like 2,000 gallons of water in her mouth.
Right.
Like, if politics do work, she was not the choice there.
No.
I like, for Libertarian Party politics, I like John fucking McAfee. I think he does
a firebrand things. Yeah, he would piss people off.
Well, and he did. And do you remember his campaign with those videos? I don't know if you're familiar with the band Gesaffelstein.
No.
But like, I found out about them through his videos. They're an extreme, like practically violent electronic music group. And
that's a good way to describe it.
Yeah.
So well, I remember seeing the ads and I'm just now remembering the music that was used for them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. War is murder. Tax is theft. And all the red and blue flashing to tell you that, yeah, you know, it's a different lens, the different filter. It's red or blue, but it's still the same thing happening in the background.
Right.
The Caffey fucking pones.
Yes.
But he also never wanted to be president. And he said, don't vote for McAfee. Because the whole point of doing that was to have a platform for his particular brand of messaging.
Right.
You know, I think he did great for libertarianism because he put the ideas of real libertarianism into people's heads. While Gary Johnson was saying like, I don't know what the non-aggression principle is. That goes over my head.
Yeah.
And while Austin Peterson calls he literally said this to me, that the non-aggression principle is an ANCAP suicide pact.
Yeah.
Because I was talking shit about the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which he still goes on his neocon rant.
Yeah,
about.
Every year that comes up, I'm like, I'm just not going to pay attention to it on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I can't with this guy.
But all these conservacucks who can call themselves libertarians because nobody calls them on their bullshit, they're all about that.
Yeah,
and I'm including that in Jocelyn Glaybox bullshit. So like. The whole idea here is
libertarian with her conquered territory nonsense.
Yeah. Conquered territory is legit. And it's
sure.
What's funny is she called me the source of the hate when I only came in hours after it had been going on. Fucking hours.
No. Yeah, I was about to say, I remember that whole thing. You had came in a little bit after it started. And so you weren't the progenitor of all of it going forward, and you know, making fun of her kid that's got some sort of weird disease or whatever. It's like I don't even remember anybody doing that, but I'm pretty sure edgelords on Twitter probably did something just trying to get a rise out of her. But
well, also, like, that thing only happened recently, and
yeah,
I wasn't followed by the person who did that, and I didn't follow the person who did that. I don't talk to them. I don't think I've ever actually said words to them, but she still blames me for all of it.
Right.
She gets to call me the figurehead because you know what I did? I talked about the fucking outlet she writes for and the fact that it was Reagan's Fox News, like Trump, like Trump has his Fox News where he watches that shit every day. And it's his like ideal source of information. This is what that is for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like Reagan had this platform and Ian Miles Chong and fucking the guys who were editing said they wanted to find feisty MAGA types. And I guess they found one in her.
Yeah, they certainly did.
I still remember when she fucking claimed that Trump isolating the power of the Treasury and the Fed is ending the Fed.
No. Last I checked, it's still there. You can still find it in the blue pages. So.
Last I checked, like after she said that, it printed about a fuck of money and like there's like
$4 trillion worth. Yeah,
there's 40% more money in the economy now than there was 2 years ago.
Yeah,
and there's gonna be more. Biden has a $6 trillion plan. Biden is Trump 2.0.
Yep.
So, like, I just electoral politics.
What version of Bush are we on? Like 4.0 at this point.
Well, okay, and here's the thing. That's a funny joke, yes. But fuck Clinton, okay? Clinton, he bombed a pharmaceutical factory called Al-Shifa and it resulted in the death of, like, 30,000 Sudanese people, innocent people who just needed fucking medicine.
Right.
He also was responsible for war crimes in Kosovo. He was a massive punk who wielded
Not to mention the whole Waco thing, so...
Who wielded military and police power. He was hugely racist. no wonder Bush preceded him.
Yeah.
And prior to him, we've got George H.W. Bush.
Mr. CIA,
CIA guy and heir to the Prescott Bush ThyssenKrupp Nazi steel fortune.
Yeah.
Where
Union like Bank, Nazi banker. So.
Yeah. And so. The whole idea of the Bush family was already bad enough. And then he's like, oh, we need a new world order. No, we don't. You fucking psychophantic, terrible cunt. We don't need any of that shit.
Yeah, we need to get rid of it, actually.
And then prior to that, you have Nixon and his whole corruption scandal and the fact that he was a massive fucking warmonger. Prior to that, you have like, and I'm not listing these in order, I don't think, but like you've got you've got fucking Reagan and his CIA drug running and the Iran-Contra affair, and you've got fucking Carter and Operation Cyclone and the CIA arming, training, and funding the Mujahideen. You've got Woodrow Wilson and his cunt ass and all of his fucking tyrannical post-war policies because Fitter kicked the bucket.
Yeah.
And you've got Fitter the fascist. They're all fucking bad. They're all 2.0s of each one of each other, progressively increasing the power of the state. And a libertarian isn't going to slow this train fucking down because it's a power train. It's not a liberty train. And it never was and it never will be. So even if they get into fucking office somehow, which they won't.
Yeah, you won't be allowed to do anything that you think you're going to do.
Or they're going to shuck your brains out like a clam.
Yes, exactly. Because the CIA actually kind of excels at lethal findings, as they like to call it. So,
yeah, I love how everybody thought Trump, the reality TV entrenched money billionaire, is going to fucking drain the swamp. Yeah. Lap the cock.
Yeah, Mr. New York Democrat, big labor guy. You know, he was basically LBJ with a bad spray tan. So,
yes. Yeah. Little bad job on the spray tan. Yeah, there we go.
Exactly. Well, I think that's probably a good place to leave it off at. Jeremiah, go ahead and drop all your plugs, buddy.
I'm an asshole conspiracy theorist. If you like this, you can find me on various places. Jeremiah EXE on Twitter until this is banned too.
Yeah.
Insanity is free everywhere else. I do video games. I do conspiracy content. I'm writing articles. I'm working on a documentary for Stateless Productions. I got a lot of stuff in the works. But if you want to find me, just any of those things will work. Just, you know, beware. You follow me, you're going to have a worse day every day. I am a terrible person and nobody should.
That's right. But as I've told you many times before, you are a terrible person and we wouldn't have it any other way. All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on and playing along. Okay.
Thanks for having me on. Cause like almost nobody will. So if you want me on your show to make your audience sad, feel free.
Yeah, go for it. He's available. All right, man. Take it easy. All right. And there he goes. Jeremiah Harding. And you guys won't have to look too far because I'll have his coin tree listed down below so that you can see everything that Jeremiah is up to. But other than that, guys, also check down those show notes to find out how you can support this guy in his little content creation endeavor. I've got my Patreon down there. I've got a Subscribestar float in mines. You know, every time I post an episode, if you want to pay me a dollar for them early, just like this one, you can go ahead and do that. If you don't like any of those platforms, no problem. I got my PayPal and my Cash App, everything else listed down there. And if you just want to kind of help out, I do have t-shirts, coffee mugs, and that type of stuff on my Teespring store. You can also find that through my website, www.rebelwithacausepodcast.com/merch-table. And that's just a little callback to the stand-up days. And also, I received some stuff in the mail today. The wonderful little smile package showed up. And I do have an Amazon list, and I don't really advertise it too much, but it's kind of nice to find stuff that just comes in every now and then. So if you guys are going to do that, the link is down there. You can take a look at the list and everything. It's just stuff I need to make the show just a little bit better for you guys. The little studio lights that I've got going here, that was all done through the Amazon wish list as well. So, but anyways, guys, take it easy, and we'll come at you next time with a brand new episode of Rebel with a Cause. This is Eric, and I'm going away now. Goodbye.